Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 46. And they come to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, that he might be silent. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering said to him, What wilt thou that I should do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Go, thy faith has healed thee. And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. And then just a couple of pages back, chapter 8 and verse 22, Mark 8, verse 22. And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man, and beseech him that he might touch him. And taking hold of the hand of the blind man, he led him forth out of the village, and having spit upon his eyes, he laid his hands upon him, and asked him if he beheld anything. And having looked up, he said, I behold men, for I see them as trees walking. Then he laid his hand again upon his eyes, and he saw distinctly, and was restored, and saw all things clearly. And he sent him to his house, saying, Neither enter into the village, nor tell it to anyone in the village. The passage in Mark 10 is one of my favourite passages of Scripture, and I've preached from it a few times. And if I preach from it here before, I'm sorry. But it gives a wonderful picture of the gospel. And this isn't a parable, this is something that actually happened. And I think it's very interesting when you read of something that actually Jesus did. They come to Jericho, a wicked place. A scary place. It was full of thieves. You read the story of the Good Samaritan. It was known. It had a reputation. And there was a man who couldn't do anything for himself. A blind beggar. You can't get much more helpless than a blind beggar. I have to tell you, without Christ, you are a blind beggar too. You can't see God, and you're wanting. You have nothing. You have no substance. You're helpless. This man was in an impossible situation. And there was a crowd. The world loves crowds, doesn't it? You get large crowds, don't you? 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. There was one man that was of interest. And you know, dear friend, tonight, you're of interest to God. God doesn't look upon crowds, he looks upon you. And he's interested in you. And this man, you know, he heard that Jesus was passing by. That was music to his ears. Because he'd heard about Jesus, what he could do. And maybe tonight you have heard about Jesus and what he can do. It says he, having heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out. You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting you need help. We live in a world where people don't like to cry for help. We live in a world where people think they're self-sufficient. They're independent. They don't need God. I can do it if I try. This man cried out. You know, it's a wonderful thing to cry out to God, isn't it? Many rebuked him. You know, the devil will do his utmost to put you off coming to Jesus. Tonight, the gospel is going out. Don't listen to the enemy. If your friends, neighbours, family even, tell you not to bother, don't listen to them. Don't be put off. Satan, what he wants to do is prevent you from coming to Christ. Dear friends, don't be put off. This man was desperate in his need, wasn't he? Just picture the scene. There's thousands, hundreds, I don't know, big crowd. One man needs help. There's the Son of God. Who is Jesus? They say it's Jesus the Nazarene, that one that's got a bit of a reputation. He comes from that awful place, Nazareth. One said, some other person said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But who was there? It was the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, the one we were reading about this afternoon. The Son of God. And yet, you know, he stands still. I think that's amazing. The one that created the heavens and the earth, God himself manifest in flesh. He stands still, stops to listen to one man. And dear friends, he'll stand still for you tonight. He will. He'll stand still for you if you need him. Amazing grace of Jesus, you know. Amazing grace. He says he desired him to be called. Tonight, dear friend, Jesus is calling you. Will you not come, the hymn says. And so the man comes to Jesus. He throws away his garment. He throws it away. That's not important now. He's ready to be exposed. We will be exposed to God. It says all things are laid bare before him with whom we might have to do. No, we have to do. You will have to meet God, dear friend. But this man was so desperate to meet Jesus, he threw away what didn't really matter. And he came to Jesus. And then Jesus asks a rather strange question. He says, What wilt thou that I shall do to thee? Here's the Son of God. Here's a blind beggar. And Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do to you? The point is, he wanted to hear him express his need. One line in one of our hymns says, all the fitness that he requireth is to feel your need of him. Tonight, dear friend, do you need Jesus? Do you acknowledge you do? This man, it was a no-brainer, wasn't it, really? He needed Jesus, the one who could open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, even raise the dead. Maybe Jesus is asking you tonight, what do you want me to do for you? Just acknowledge. He says, that I may see. Part of the problem of the world today is that they don't know their need. even in the church. You might go to church, meeting, might do all the right things. Laodicea, they said, I've grown rich and need of nothing. And that's the world we live in today, self-sufficient. But if you're honest before God, and that's what God requires in the gospel is honesty. If you're honest before God, you say, I have a need, and there's only one man that can meet it. This blind man, he knew that Jesus was the only one that could meet his need. And I'm telling you today and this evening, as a sinner, and we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. As a sinner, you have a need. That need is to be forgiven of your sins, to have peace with God, to have eternal life. You see, when it says all have sinned, there's a debt, isn't there? We've all racked up a great debt. Some people are in great debt financially. And it's a terrible burden, isn't it? But you know, the burden of sin is far, far worse. What a burden sin is. It's a debt we have before God. And that debt must be paid. And I'm telling you tonight in the glad tidings, the good news is that the debt has been paid for you. If you accept what Christ has done, because he bore our sins in his body on the tree, the debt has been paid for everyone that believes in him. For this man, his eyes were opened. If you're a sinner and you haven't got Christ as your saviour, you're blind. The scripture tells us that. This was a man who was physically blind. But you know, without Christ, without forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're spiritually blind. But God has come out in grace in Jesus that you might see, that you might understand. This book is a closed book to millions. But you know, if you accept Christ as your Saviour, it opens up. Light comes in and you realise, oh yes, that speaks of God. God has come out. So the question is, are you going to come to Jesus? This man got the blessing by coming to Jesus. I wonder if you've ever made that step. Well, like it says here, and throwing away his garment, he started up. You know, he started up. Luke 15, the young man, he got as far away as he could. But then he turned round, didn't he? The first step is the most important. First step. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The first step to blessing is repentance. This man here, he started up and he came to Jesus. May we all make that step. If you've never made it before, you make it right now. Thy faith has healed thee. Thy faith. What healed this man? Oh yes, Jesus healed him. But Jesus says, by faith. It's faith in the one who died for me and shed his precious blood for me. That's what heals me. That's what gives me sight. My faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No question. We live in a world where it's if, maybe. How wonderful is that statement? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He saw immediately. What a wonderful thing that is. You believe in Jesus and you're saved. For time and for eternity. There's no testing period. There's no purgatory. There's no qualification. He saw immediately. How wonderful that is. That's the God we have to deal with, dear friend. And then finally, the story says that he followed him in the way. If you put your trust in Jesus as Saviour, he's worth following, isn't he? Followed him in the way. In the Acts, you know, they spoke about the way. It was the Christian way. They followed him. He followed him. He didn't go to the synagogue of the day. He didn't go to the temple. He followed Jesus. Tonight, dear friend, if you put your trust in the Saviour and you love him because what he's done for you, you need to follow him in the way. I read the other account of a blind man. Jesus handled this differently. And we've all come to Christ through different ways. I was just reading a leaflet in the room there where, I don't know in what connection you use it, but it says on there, we've come to Christ through different means, different ways. Here was another episode where a man was healed, was given his sight. But Jesus used a different method. You know, we come to Christ through different routes. It's the same message. But your experience with the Saviour might be different from mine. But what I was interested in here was, it was a two-stage process. Does that mean that the work of Christ was faulty? That it needed some further work? No. But you know, God in his wisdom uses different ways to deal with us and to bring us to Christ. And he needed a second touch. He saw men as trees walking. Bit like Peter, really, wasn't it? We read off this afternoon. He'd got men in front of him. You know, Moses and Elias. But what he needed to do was see Jesus alone. So he had a second touch. And I'll just end with that. Maybe you tonight just need a second touch. To see things clearly. To see Jesus alone. It's between you and the Saviour. There's nothing the preacher can do. There's nothing your friends can do. You need to come to him and get that second touch. Surely God's desire and the preacher's desire and all of our desire would be that you see Jesus clearly. We live in a world where things are muddled and vague. Gospel goes out that you might understand and have to do with the Lord. See him clearly for who he is. See something of his glory that we're speaking of this afternoon. The glory of the Saviour. Glory as the Son of God. Men go out of sight. He gets this second touch. If there's anyone tonight who needs that, I would urge you to come to Jesus and have to do with him, and he will graciously touch you that you might see him for who he is. Not only for what he has done, and we've been thinking about what he's done. No one else could do what Jesus did. No one else could bear the penalty of sin. But not only do we understand what he's done, but we understand who he is as Saviour and Lord, and worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be followed, as that Bartimaeus did in the other passage. That's all I've got to say. May it be so for his name's sake.